Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here on August 1st. I woke up this morning, I'm like, it's Communion Sunday. And then Dave said he got here, and he's like, wait, it's Communion Sunday. I'm like, I can't recall when like a church service, like a Communion Sunday actually starts on the 1st, when the first Sunday is actually the 1st of the month. In the Alliance, historically, we've always had Communion on the first Sunday of each month, which is kind of what we've done forever. I woke up this morning, I'm like, shoot, I totally missed the mark this morning. And so I'm preaching a different sermon than I was going to. You guys know I've been here for the past few weeks, been preaching on the core values of the Alliance. Well, this week we're going to take a little step back because next week I really want to recap what we've been talking about, give you some takeaways and how you can live those core values out. But this week we'll be talking about how we as Christians can develop a good work ethic. And we'll be in Colossians 3:23 as our primary text. And then we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I mixed up the verse there. But when we think of work, we often think about the mundane tasks at hand that need to get completed, such as writing papers, cleaning our house, or for me in the military, cleaning nasty barracks, or taking out the trash. But what if for a moment we took a step back to see that there's much more to work than simply checking off a box? What if we're meant to enjoy work, even the mundane duties that we are asked to do? You know, reflecting on Colossians 3:23, as you guys know, I was at Mahaffey Camp, and it's not really, for the pastors, we don't really get to take part in the services like the families do, but we're assigned tasks, and sometimes they often, honestly, can be quite mundane. And I was like, when I got put in the store, I'm like, Lord, really work in me, really humble me. I've never worked in a store before other than in high school. I worked as a cashier in our school store, but I never made like fast food, and it's definitely a humbling job. And I was like, God, like, help me see how you're going to move here, Lord, because it's going to be a long 10 days if I don't feel your presence or how I'm going to make a difference in people's lives. But I tell you what, every moment of every hour that I enjoyed there, God revealed to me not only a better work ethic, hello, tablet, but good morning, but not a better work ethic, but also how to develop relationships even in the most mundane things in life. So through this opportunity of serving at Mahaffey, I met many wonderful pastors, many seasoned saints, and grateful that that opportunity allowed them to call them friends. So Jim Povich is an Alliance pastor down in Salzburg. We hit it off really well. We were quoting Forrest Gump and just random, you know, just movie quotes. But it was cool how God brought something that's not really fun and helped us enjoy it. And then we got to enjoy it together as brothers and sisters in Christ. So just think, you know, well, your job might not be joyful. You know, like, I know people that are farmers, they love to farm, but it can be mundane. I know Jeff's out working in the field selling corn, and I know he'd rather be here, but he's providing for his family. And he's doing it, I'm sure, with a joyful heart. So I miss Jeff, I miss seeing him, and I miss all of you guys who are not here, but sometimes God, you know, like, gives us things in our lives to work for, and we need to give glory to him for allowing that in our life. So today we'll be in chapter 3, verses 23, and I'll talk about the implications of a Christian work ethic. So I'll give you a minute there. That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 23. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. So when you read that verse, it's interesting. You know, I often, when I used to, I'm coaching football right now, and it's easy to kind of, you know, put faith or put, you know, our regular life kind of in separate categories. And so I'm coaching these kids. I'm like, you know, I tell them to give glory to God wherever you do, even playing football. I know there's times at practice where practice can be mundane and not fun. I had the honor and privilege to play football for 16 years, and to be honest, I didn't really enjoy practice. Playing at a collegiate level, I'm a lot smaller than a lot of the offensive linemen. I was definitely the shortest. I wasn't the smallest by weight, but I was the definitely the shortest. So I had to block like an all conference linebacker, and this guy was like 6'5", and here I am at 5'8", lit me up my first day of practice. I'm like, this is going to be a long 4 years. I'm like, God, like, even in those moments, you know, help me to see you. Help me to see you at practice. And one of those things that God allowed in those moments, our coach implemented this cool thing. It was called the Word of the Day. So we'd each have a role each day. Each teammate would come up with the Word of the Day. And so someone would use a inspirational quote. You know, they quote Coach Saban. He's the coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. I don't like Alabama, but he's a famous college football coach. Or they quote A.B. Simpson, was a crown, so they quote Simpson, or they quote John Piper, just famous theologians or pastors or athletes. And that really got me going for the day to think, like, football is so much more than just a game. You know, it's a life-building skill. And I tell these kids that, you know, there will come a day we're not going to play football anymore. And for me, that day was 5 years ago. But because of the work that I put in and how God shaped me through the coaches in my life, I'm a better man because of that. So I've been teaching those kids that too. It's like, guys, like, their practice might suck, you know, but God's going to use this in your life to build character and to build discipline, and hard work will pay off. So in Colossians 3:23, we read, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. But the question that comes to mind here is how do we glorify God with our work? As we mentioned earlier, work is not to be something we do without passion. This does not mean that we won't be asked to do certain tasks that we don't like. However, we can choose to see the good that we are doing and give God the glory as a result. This starts with heart change. First, our outlook on work begins to change when we praise God even in the mundaneness of life. But in order to praise God in our work, we have to know the God in whom we ought to praise. How often do you guys spend time with Jesus? Either by praying, reading scripture, attending a Bible study with other Christians. But the point is, what are you doing to fill your life up with Christ so that even at work, you're joyful with what God has asked you to do? Not long ago, and in fact, a year ago, I went through the U.S. Army Chaplain School, the basic officer leadership course at Fort Jackson, where I learned how to be a soldier, an Army officer, and a chaplain. And while we were there, we had a lot of exciting training, a lot of fun classes, but one of the most tedious things we got asked to do was sweep the courtyard after every Friday of classes. So we get around to the last class about 3:30, I want to say, in the afternoon. So the Army time, that's 15:30. And so we're wrapping up, you know, and then like, okay, guys, we got to go clean the toilets, we got to go clean whatever. And then they always say someone special's coming, like, you know, some high general, like two-star general or someone's coming. They're not really coming. They just want you to clean something. And so, you know, it's hot outside. It's the middle of August in South Carolina. If any one of you guys have been in South Carolina summer, it's hot. It might say 95 degrees, but the humidity in the ocean, it's like 130, feels like it. Not really, but I'm exaggerating, but it does feel like that. Especially when you grew up in the northern states like New York, like I did. Well, anyway, we get asked to do these tasks, right? And so we're in this giant courtyard. There's like these annoying cherry trees. I'm not even sure they're cherry trees, but these little weird little berries. And there are thousands of them. I mean, like, I've never seen so many berries or whatever, cherries in my life. And we're in there, and they're like, okay, guys, you got like 2 hours to clean this up. Like, seriously? It's 3:30 in the afternoon. It's hot. It's like the hottest time of the day. And so we get like those big push brooms. Kind of feel like I'm like a chimney sweep or something, or on Mary Poppins. And so we're doing that, right? And then we're like, well, we got to pass the time somehow. So one of my my brothers, who's an African-American chaplain, starts singing Amazing Grace. And we start singing, you know, these spirituals and these hymns. And then when the drill starts, it's like, shut up, chaplains, you're having too much fun. We're like, well, we've got to have fun somehow and glorify the Lord. But in that moment of, you know, doing the mundane task of cleaning the barracks or cleaning the courtyard, man, that thing seemed like it took forever. And then it rained one time, and so it was like pouring down rain. We're cleaning this. We're like, seriously, the rain's just going to wash the berries into the drain, but whatever. But in those moments, you know, how we found the Lord was, well, we're in this together. You know, we're a bunch of chaplains. Some weren't believers, but the ones that weren't believers saw the Christian chaplains take the initiative and say, we're going to choose to be humble enough to love the Lord regardless of, you know, this sucky day or this task. So it was just kind of neat how God showed up in those moments. And even through the simple encouragement of a hymn or a song, that gave us enough drive to get through that tedious task. And then, as I recalled my time during the courtyard, I was reminded by the Holy Spirit that we are called to serve and not to be served. So I was convicted, and my attitude quickly changed from frustration to joy for being allowed to be part of an awesome ministry. What changed was my outlook. You see, this mundane task was an act of worship rather than an unnecessary thing we had to do. As a result, I started enjoying cleaning the courtyard because I realized that what we were doing was glorifying to God rather than just to complete a task. My question is for you today, what is keeping you back from enjoying God at work? Is it difficult coworkers? Is the difficulty of your tasks or challenges you complete at work? However, I challenge you this week to reflect on the areas where you struggle to see joy at work. If it's a difficult coworker, take the time to listen to them and to hear their story. Perhaps they're going through a life struggle, which is why their attitude towards you is quite negative. Instead of fighting back or avoiding conflict, how about you pray for that person in your quiet time? Or take the time to actually listen to what's going on in their life. It's amazing when we just stop and pause and reflect on life and we talk to people, and a lot of the times why they act that way is because they're not heard or they don't feel heard or there's other things going on in their home life, but it kind of comes out at work. And I know in the Army, in just regular ministry, but a lot of people bring their home life with them. Like, home doesn't just stop, you know, and some of these kids at practice, like, I don't know their situation. I'm guessing a lot of them probably don't have dads. Or they do, you know, I don't know what's it like at home, but you could tell some of their attitude's kind of, I guess, poopy. I don't know, I don't, better word for that, it's kind of just poor. I don't think I've ever used poopy in a sermon before, but there we go. But it's just kind of poor. I'm like, you know, I pull them aside and say, guys, what's going on? You know, what's going on? And they share, you know, they're honest about what's happened in their home life, but how often in life do we kind of just push people aside at work or even in general, and we see people having a bad day, like we don't actually like address them or, you know, ask them what's going on. We just kind of go through our day. But what if we stopped in that moment at work or the hospital, wherever we're at, to ask people how they're doing? By showing empathy and care towards difficult coworkers, it can often lead to a better workplace and return to enjoyment and work. If it's the mundaneness, I challenge you to memorize scripture on who God is, and I've often found that this gets me through a difficult day, which ultimately draws us closer to the Lord. Work is difficult, as we all know, and at times can be boring. Trust me, there are thousands of other things I'd rather do than write a research paper. And so praise God that 2 weeks from tomorrow, I'm done with my master's degree. So I'm tired of writing papers. I'm like, Lord, I have this one annoying project where I have to do an eval of everyone in the class. I'm like, everyone's doing well. I love them, but I'm ready to be done. It's been 8 years of a college and seminary. I'm like, God, like, you've been great to me. Like, I've done what you asked me to do. It's time to be done. I got better things I want to do. but school, you know, the past 8 years has taught me how to be humble. It's taught me how to rely on the Lord. And I often think about work. You know, like, work does that too. Like, you know, there's much better things I'd rather do. I'd rather go hunting or fishing. I'd rather go to a NASCAR race or watch the Steelers or whatever than rather sit at work. But in those moments, God humbles us to show us that in all things we need to be humbled. I'd rather watch the Chiefs, but that's okay. But we're getting there. And I was thinking about work, and like, my dad had a lot of jobs growing up. My grandpa was poor, and sadly he lost his dad when he was 2 years old, and then his stepdad when he was six. So they worked really hard jobs, and my grandpa worked, you know, at County Line Cheese. And so if anyone knows cheese, County Line used to be rival to Kraft. And then unfortunately in the 80s, got bought out by Kraft. But he worked a really hard job. So my dad was, you know, a Vietnam War vet. You know, he worked as a contractor. You look at my dad's hands, they're all calloused, you know, from all the hard work as a contractor. But I've never seen my dad complain once about work. And that instilled in me a drive. It's like, you know, my dad worked hard for life. He didn't earn his salvation through work, but he worked hard because God called him, you know, to be a faithful follower of him in all things. And it instilled in me a drive in my own life. It's like, Matt, I'd rather do a bunch of things, like have fun. But what a great thing it is that we can have fun after work. I always look forward to Fridays. And then sometimes I take Mondays off. And ministry is not just a job. You know, like the army says, not just a job, it's an adventure. Well, ministry is a venture. But if you look at ministry as a job, you're in the wrong business. I remember Reverend Jenks telling me, he's like, Matt, he's like, the reason why 81 I still pastor is because this is my vocation, it's my life, it's not a job. And that mindset helps you change. It's like, what are you in it for? Is it to see lives change or is it for yourself? Because if, you know, even at work, it's like, are you there just to earn a paycheck or you want to make a difference? And hopefully it's to make a difference. I mean, you never know how your positive attitude might influence someone. And I remember that at football practice growing up, like, people come up to me and say, Matt, like, why are you different? Even at Crown, at a Christian school, they're like, why is your attitude different? It's because I love the Lord. And I know it sucks. I know life's difficult, but God's going to get us through this. And so, in all things, let us be gracious. So the second implication that we get from Colossians 3:23 is that work is meant to bless others. You may think, how can work or serving bless others? Well, have you ever selflessly done something? Perhaps bringing someone a meal when they're sick, or a card to congratulate them on a life's achievement. These little incidents of gratitude can go a long way and can often lift someone's spirits. Jesus is the greatest example of this. Let's look at John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17, and see how he was the greatest example of blessing others. John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. So he, Jesus, when he washed the feet of the disciples and taken his garments and reclined at the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and I am Lord. And you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of the other. For I give you an example that you should also do as I do to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the things you are blessed if you do them. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. I do not speak of all of you. I know that the ones I have chosen, but as the scripture may be fulfilled. And then he who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. From now on, I'm telling you before it comes to pass. So when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives me, whomever I send, receives me also. And he who receives me, receives him who sent me." So you may be thinking, like, how does that have to do with work or serving? So in John chapter 13, we see the Lord do one of the most humble things anyone can imagine. He washed the dirty feet of his disciples. And it's not like today when you wear sandals or you wear Crocs. I love Crocs. Christy always gets on me about Crocs and how weird they look. I'm like, I don't care. They're stylish and they're fun to wear. But back in biblical times, they wore, you know, sandals. That was their main method of footwear. But the roads weren't paved like they are today. If you've ever been to Israel, you've been to kind of a dirt road in the countryside, it's really muddy. And so these disciples didn't have cars, didn't have, you know, transportation. They often walked to places, so their feet were often grimy. I don't know what they stepped in. I don't know what was on that road. But you can imagine, you know, your mind can imagine what it was like. But however, Jesus offers to clean their feet, not because he was trying to get their approval, or rather to get something from them, but he wanted to be a blessing to his disciples. Because Jesus was one who deeply loved and served God. Because one who deeply loves and serves God ought to love others in the same manner. Now, you may never be in a place where you wash your feet of your fellow brother or sister, but however, the principle is still there. I often look, you know, at marriages and different denominations or different traditions, and I know some Baptists, they're called foot washing Baptists, they actually, like in the marriage ceremony, they actually wash their spouse's, soon-to-be spouse's feet. And what a humbling thing it is. You take on an attitude of serving. I'm like, I don't know if I want to wash Christy's feet in the wedding, but humble me, Lord. But it's just interesting that that act, you know, of doing that is humbling. And I couldn't imagine what it was like to wash all the disciples' feet. I'm like, Lord, you know, bless you. But the fact is, you know, often we do things in life that aren't very fun. I remember watching the show, I think it was Mike Rowe, he did like these dirty jobs. You know, it was like the show on Discovery Channel, whatever, he'd be like a pig farmer or something, or he'd be like a trash compactor or whatever, just in these really weird, not weird jobs, but just kind of dirty jobs. And I remember looking at that like, God, that's kind of like you washing the feet of the disciples. Like, it was a very dirty job. It was very low, kind of like lowest of the low, you know, people would do that as a servant. But you took on that attitude because you showed us these people more important, you know, and we need to take that as well. Like, who are people in our lives that we don't really want to reach because they're kind of outcast or they're quote-unquote dirty to us? I often look at homeless people and you know, like, or just look at kind of social outcasts, but they need the Lord too. And we need to take on an attitude of serving, not only in church, but also out there. And I've been convicted of that too, just kind of in my own life, not now, but in my own life, of kind of pushing people aside, like, oh, they don't look like me, they don't, you know, they don't quite fit my mold. But, you know, I ask the Lord to break that of me, because everyone is made in the image of God. Doesn't matter if you're homeless, doesn't matter if you're rich or whatever, but we're all made in the image of God, and we all need to be loved. So one practical example of how you can encourage your fellow coworkers who's having a rough day would be just to write them a note, write them a thank you note, or give them a scripture verse. I can't count the times my mom growing up would give me notes in my lunchbox. That made my day. You know, I'd be having a rough day, and then I'd get to lunch, and then it'd be some scripture verse, or be, I love you, Matthew, whatever. But think of ways of how you can be a blessing to someone else. Perhaps you're in a drive-thru and it's a really long line and there's a mom in front of you, just like five kids. I don't know if the Lord believes you to, you know, bless that person and paying for their meal, but I've seen this pay it forward thing. It's kind of neat. And people have done that to me as well. I'll be in line at Starbucks and I don't ask anything for it, but sometimes I'll be in my uniform and they'll pay for it. I'm like, you don't got to pay for me. You don't owe me anything. I owe God everything. You know, we're stewards of all his stuff that he gives us. But what a blessing is to be a blessing to someone else. Because what it does inside of you, it creates a love for people. And often I feel like the reason why we struggle with things is because we're not grateful. And those moments of blessings that I've received creates in me a heart of being grateful for other people or just things in life. Even though it's a small drink, and I love Starbucks Frappuccinos. Their caramel frappe is my favorite. So anyone's give me a Starbucks frappe, please do. But just kidding. But like, it's just cool just seeing, even a chaotic world, seeing everything going on with COVID and our political climate, there's still good people. And a lot of those times, those people aren't Christians. But what if we have a church could take the attitude of humility or serving people? I think more people would want to know the Lord. So the final implication of developing a Christian work ethic that we receive from studying Colossians 3:23 is that work is meant to bless God. The second half of Colossians 3:23 says, do it all for the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I think it's easy to separate work and worship when in reality, what we do when done in a godly manner can be done for the glory of God. Pastor John Piper suggests several ways in which we can glorify God at work. There are 9 ways which Piper says you can glorify God at work. But I've listed a few. I mean, it's kind of a long article. But the first is thanks. Always give God thanks for the life and health and work and for the Lord in your life. Be a thankful person at work. Don't be among the complainers. Let your thankfulness to God overflow in a humble spirit of gratitude. Be known as the hope-filled, humble, thankful one at work. The second one is dependence and integrity. Go to work utterly dependent upon God. This comes from Proverbs 3:5-6 and John 15:5. Without God, we cannot breathe, we cannot move, we cannot think or feel. Not to mention, without God, we can't be spiritually influential. We need to get up in the morning and let God know our desperation for him and pray for help. Integrity. Be absolutely meticulously honest and trustworthy on the job. Be on time. Give a full day's at work. Thou shalt not steal. More people rob their employers by being slackers than by filching the petty cash. It's an interesting word that Piper used there. The point is, it's all about attitude, you know, in life. And And the Lord is the greatest example of attitude and how to work. There's days, folks, where I don't want to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and go visit people in the hospital or in the nursing home. But I do it because I love the Lord and I love you. And it's funny, it's like the grumbleness in my life. It's like, Lord, I'd rather just sleep. But often, I come back refreshed. Not often, every time. I come back refreshed and encouraged because of that ministry that I spent with my fellow congregation members, and I'm blessed because of that. It's often in life, you know, I think that we'd much rather do something that's more fun, but I think even those tough moments, God reveals us a greater love for people. I'd rather be, you know, like doing some fun carnival like Bakerstown had yesterday, but I'm putting in the hard work and going to see people, and, you know, and ministry is not for all people. It's a difficult task, and we're all called to serve the Lord no matter where he's placed us. But ministry as a vocation is one of the hardest tasks that anyone can ask to do. But I love it. I love being your pastor. I love serving people and getting to know people. And God designed me to be a networker. If anyone you know me, I know a lot of pastors. It's not because I'm prideful knowing a lot of people, but just God gave me that gift. It's not a spiritual gift, but it's a gift nonetheless. And I love building relationships with the kingdom. And I met probably like 50 pastors at Mahaffey. Just becoming, having a smiling face at the camp store. And it was just interesting how God used, you know, like serving hot dogs and whatever, how many shakes we made, like 600 and some one day, just to bless other people. But it was just so cool. Like, hey, like, I think you're a new pastor. Like, you Pastor Matt? Like, it was just kind of neat. They knew who I was. I love that kind of stuff. I'd much rather be in a kitchen serving food than sitting in an office. But nonetheless. As we close, I'd like to remind you that we can develop a good Christian work ethic by enjoying our job, by blessing others, and being a blessing to God. And the foundation for this is our love for God. Everything we should do should reflect our love and hope in Christ. I pray this week you begin to see how God is at work with you, even in the smallest moments of your day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you that you are good to us, Lord, that even in those moments of mundaneness where we'd rather do anything but be at work or do a homework assignment or go to the hospital to see people, you encourage us to step out of that boat, Lord, and trust you. And I'm thankful, God, that you give us the opportunity to work. Lord, we know that work and doing good things does not earn our salvation, Lord, but as Christians, we're called to be good stewards of everything. Lord, I believe that steward is also the work you've given us, Lord, and to be a different example from the world and a different witness. Lord, a lot of us do different things. You've called us to different jobs. Some of us are farmers. Some of us are, you know, business people, Lord, or work in schools or whatever, or even in, some of us are still in school, Lord, or college or high school or elementary school or even middle school. But where you've placed us, God, you've given us a task to complete. And Lord, I know that we're not done working, we're not done serving until we come home with you. But I pray, Lord, that today we take on a spirit of humility and want to serve you more because of your love for us and how you served us, Lord. I pray that that people would be blessed at our workplaces, Lord. I pray that we can be a light of encouragement or just a spirit of influence of you, Lord. And whatever way you want to work through us, God, I pray that you'd reveal it to us. Perhaps it's buying someone lunch, or it's just spending time with someone who doesn't feel heard, or giving them a note of encouragement. God, whatever it is, I pray that today you'd reveal how we can encourage people at work. And Lord, I pray as a pastor of this great congregation that you'd help me develop skills of how I can encourage people, meet them where they're at. Lord, it's in your holy name I pray. Amen. So let us now, as we change gears for communion, let us take a posture of humility and get our hearts right from the Lord. Let's ask that you silently bow and take some time and get your heart right with the Lord, and I'll close in prayer, and then we'll take the bread and the wine and have communion together.